David and Nikki Lee are now going to bring us our readings. Dave and Nick.
Our first scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 20. Now, since our message is that Christ has been raised from death, how can some of you say that the dead will not be raised to life? If that is true, it means that Christ was not raised. And if Christ has not been raised from death, then we have nothing to preach and you have nothing to believe. More than that, we are shown to be lying about God, because we said that he raised Christ from death. But if it is true that the dead are not raised to life, then he did not raise Christ. For if the dead are not raised, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is a delusion, and you are still lost in your sins. It would also mean that the believers in Christ who have died are lost. If our hope in Christ is good for this life only and no more, then we deserve more pity than anyone else in all the world. But the truth is that Christ has been raised from death as the guarantee that those who sleep in death will also be raised.
Second reading is from John chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. Jesus appears to the seven disciples. After this, Jesus appeared once more to his disciples at Lake Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael, the one from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples of Jesus were all together. Simon Peter said to the others, "I'm going fishing." "We will come with you," they told him. So they went out in a boat, but all that night they did not catch a thing. As the sun was rising, Jesus stood at the water's edge, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then he asked them, "Young men, haven't you caught anything?" "Not a thing," they answered. He said to them, "Throw your net out on the right side of the boat, and you will catch some." So they threw the net out and could not pull it back in because they'd caught so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he'd taken his clothes off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples came to shore in the boat, pulling the net full of fish. They were not very far from land, about 100 meters away. When they stepped ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and some bread. Then Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've caught." Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net ashore full of big fish, 153 in all. Even though there were so many, still the net did not tear. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. So Jesus went over, took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This then was the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples and he was raised from death. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. Thank you for the truth, the reality that Jesus is risen. He is alive today. And Lord, we welcome you this morning by your Holy Spirit. Please speak to us. Teach us new things about you. Help us to apply them. Empower us afresh with your Spirit to live for you and bring you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if any of you saw it this week, but there was a survey commissioned by the BBC that was revealed this week. I'm looking at you because I'm thinking, Chris James, if anyone saw it, you probably saw it, but maybe not. Maybe I've seen a survey that Chris James didn't see. In this survey, it said that a quarter of people, obviously the ones they surveyed, who describe themselves as Christians in Great Britain, do not believe in the resurrection. Is that surprising? Now, in fairness, over a third of those surveyed who did say they were Christians never go to church at all. But even those who said they attended church at least once a month, if not more, not all of those believed in the resurrection of Jesus. Now, I've got to admit, I find that really hard to comprehend. What is the point of Christianity if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? Now, the Apostle Paul was addressing a similar issue in his letter to the Corinthians. Some people around were saying it just couldn't happen. Jesus couldn't have been resurrected. Others apparently could have been using the term Jesus is raised from the dead as a way of saying God's cause continues, or I still regard Jesus as my teacher and my leader. But that's a different thing completely. Now, perhaps some of those included in that BBC survey who said they were Christians, maybe they fall into this category too. Because if you think about it, it is certainly much less demanding on our lives if we choose to believe that Jesus is just a great teacher rather than the Son of the living God who is crucified but is now alive. But as Paul explained in verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is a delusion and you are still lost in your sins. It is because Jesus has been raised from the dead that we're here today. And the truth that Jesus is alive changes our lives forever. As the disciples discovered when they met with the resurrected Jesus on the beach, he now invites us to a new way of life, where things are the same, yet different, and where even familiar events end up with unexpected results. Our reading from John's Gospel this morning tells us of the unexpected encounter that the disciples had with the risen Jesus after a night of fishing. Now, John tells us they were at Lake Tiberias. Lake Tiberias is also known as the Sea of Galilee. Now, just to put this event into context, if you flip back in your Bibles to the previous chapter, you will hear what Lindsay was talking about earlier, of how the disciples were all in a room where the doors were locked and Jesus met with them. And that was on the Sunday evening after he'd been crucified. Now, they were still in Jerusalem at this point because it was the Passover festival. But once the Passover festival had finished, these seven disciples returned to Galilee. Now, that was probably because they came from the region around Galilee. But if you look in Mark's Gospel, he says that when the women went to Jesus' tomb and found it empty, an angel gave them a message. The angel said, "Tell Peter and the disciples that Jesus has been raised and that he's going to Galilee where they will see him." In other words, the disciples knew Jesus was alive because they'd seen him in a locked room. And they'd been told they would see him in Galilee. And yet still, they never expected to meet him on the beach. So having returned home, Peter said he was going fishing. And the others said, "We'll come with you." Now, we don't know why Peter chose to go fishing once he'd returned to Galilee. Some people suggest that having seen Jesus crucified and knowing that he wasn't with them anymore in the way that they'd known, they felt, we're just going to have to get on with the rest of our lives. This was the world that Peter knew. He was a fisherman. So was Andrew, James, and John. And for the past few years, they'd left that way of life behind. They travelled with Jesus, they'd listened to his teaching, they'd have been a part of his miracles. But Jesus wasn't with them now. So had Peter gone back to his old way of life? Other people suggest that the familiarity of fishing brought some kind of comfort and normality to the disciples after all they just experienced in Jerusalem. It was kind of therapeutic for them to just jump in a boat and get back to their roots. Now, I'm sure for all of us, there is something like that. A bit of normality and routine that we're able just to de-stress after a traumatic time. Maybe you like to go for a nice walk in the countryside. Maybe you like to bury your head in a good book. Now, if I don't have much time, and if I've got lots to do, my bit of normality is to do my ironing while watching Escape to the Country. If you've never seen it, I really recommend it. And the routine of the ironing while watching Escape to the Country just brings some kind of ordinariness if it's been a stressful day. Now, you've probably got something else you do. But I'm sure if we think about it, we can imagine something of what the disciples were going through. It makes sense that they might resort to a bit of fishing. They'd seen Jesus welcomed as a king. They'd seen him nailed to a cross and die. They'd seen him appear to them in a room when the doors were locked. And all that within a week. They must have felt like they'd been on an emotional roller coaster. And they had no idea what was going to happen next. So maybe they just went for a bit of space, a bit of normality, and went out in the boat. Unfortunately, though, it wasn't a good fishing trip. And they ended up with nothing. That is, until a stranger on the shore called out to them to try the other side. Now, experienced fishermen rarely took advice from strangers. So there must have been something about the way that he spoke that gave them confidence. And they did what he said. And what a result. A net so full of fish, they had a job to put it in. And it was at that moment that John realized this was no stranger. And he said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So what was going on through these strange events? You see, I don't believe that John chose to recall this encounter as just a nice way to end his gospel. He'd just written in the previous chapter about Jesus appearing to the disciples in a locked room. That was pretty dramatic. Jesus was alive. He'd told people Jesus was alive, but there was more to this incident than a resurrection appearance. This was also a pointer to the disciples and to all believers of the way that they were now to live and the responsibilities that they would have. You see, Jesus' resurrection beckons us into a new way of life. A way of life where we learn how to follow Jesus in our everyday, normal life and let him guide the way that we live. For Peter and the disciples, it didn't matter that they were experienced fishermen, didn't matter that they understood the Sea of Galilee, didn't matter that they knew how the fish normally operated. Life was different now. And they needed to learn that if they tried to get on with their life in their way, just relying on their own knowledge and expertise, well, then they weren't going to get very far. This new way of life was about listening to Jesus' voice and doing what he says. Because Jesus wants to share in every aspect of our lives. He's not only interested in the so-called religious bit, not just interested in the stuff that has to do with church. Jesus has spent his time teaching people that the heart of the gospel is to live the way that God has intended us to in the whole of our lives. So that impacts our work, our leisure, our relationships, the highs and lows of everyday life. Jesus cares so much for us that he wants to share the whole of life with us. And he doesn't just have something to do to say about how to get great results at fishing. You know, often people say to me, why would I want to go to church? Why would I want to know about faith? What's that got to do with life today? You know the answer to that? Everything. It's got everything to do with life today because Jesus has something to say about every aspect of our lives, about however we're feeling, about whatever we're going through. And he wants us to learn to follow him in our everyday lives. You know, it makes me wonder, for us, are there things that we've been labouring over and getting nowhere? Maybe there have been issues that we've been striving to resolve in our own strength. Maybe we're worried. Maybe we feel stressed. Maybe we're hurting. And we're trying all kinds of things to help us to carry on, and yet nothing seems to change. Have we listened to the voice of Jesus? Have we taken a moment to listen, even if what he says goes against what we think we know ourselves, as he did with the fishing? You know, like the disciples, we can trust him to help us. And as the disciples discovered, as we learn to follow him in everything, the results may well be way beyond our belief. But you know, there's more to this story than just a miraculous catch of fish. Because when Peter and Andrew and James and John had first met Jesus, that was also at Lake Galilee. And a similar event had also taken place. Luke records the event in his gospel, and he says that they'd all been fishing all night long, caught nothing. And Jesus that time said, go into deeper water and let your nets down. They did as he said, and according to Luke, they caught so many fish that their nets were about to break. And then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. Now surely, when they had caught so many fish this time, wouldn't they have been reminded by that very first encounter that they'd had with Jesus? Wouldn't it have taken them back to that moment? Maybe that's why Peter jumped in and rushed to the shore. But I'm sure there's another reason why John chooses to write about this encounter. Because like the disciples, we are all called to catch people by sharing Jesus in our everyday life. And people need to hear the good news of Jesus. Interestingly, the BBC survey revealed that quite a number of people believe in life after death. They don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus, but they do believe in life after death. Now that suggests to me that people are hungry to know there is more to life. They long to believe there is something else that's happening. And we are called to help them connect with the truth. Jesus has chosen to use us to continue his mission in the world. He wants to work with us to build his kingdom and share his love. But it's a partnership that he invites us to join. And that's really important to remember. It's a partnership. I love the detail that John includes in his story. In verse 9, he says, when they stepped ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and some bread. Have you ever stopped and wondered, where did Jesus get his fish? Here were a bunch of fishermen. They'd been fishing all night. They hadn't got any fish. They get to the beach. Jesus has got fish on the fire. There he is waiting for them, and breakfast is ready. And he says to them, bring some of the fish you've just caught. You see, Jesus welcomes Peter's catch. He welcomes it, but he doesn't need it. And John is reminding us that Jesus has given us all a very important job to do in building his kingdom. But that work is not all down to us. Sometimes as Christians, we can misplace our focus. I've heard people say, we've got to do this, we've got to do this, we've got to do this, in a way that implies that otherwise everything is going to fall apart and Jesus' mission will come to an end. And so we need to remember that Jesus has called us to partner with him in his mission. Now, because it's Jesus that's called us, of course we should take it seriously. But he doesn't need our help. He chooses to include our help. And that's a very different thing. The way we share Jesus in our everyday life is the same as the way that we follow Jesus in our everyday life. It's by listening to him. It's by trusting in him. You know, there are some great tools around today to help us to share our faith, to help people to connect with the gospel. They are great, but they should never be relied upon as the means to success. Because ultimately, it is Jesus that we should be depending upon. And one of the best ways we can depend upon him is through prayer. It's as we pray that we understand more of God's heart and what he wants us to do. It's through prayer that we can be guided in our conversations as we tell others about our faith in him. I wonder, have you ever been asked a difficult question about your faith? And very quickly you've just said, Jesus, I don't know how to answer this, help me. And you start to speak and you think, where did that answer come from? So often it's when we completely trust in Jesus, when we aren't very confident in ourselves, that we see him at work even more powerfully. And I'm sure as we learn to let Jesus guide us even more in sharing our faith, again, we will be surprised by the results. But there's still more to this new way of life that Jesus wanted the disciples to understand. We heard when they dragged the net ashore, verse 12 says, Jesus said, come and eat. Now, when Jesus invited his disciples to join him for breakfast, there was a whole lot more to it than bread and fish. Yes, no doubt the disciples were hungry. They'd been fishing all night. And yes, we have to remember Jesus cares about how we feel and he wants to meet our needs in every aspect of our lives. But in Jesus' day, an invitation to join with someone to eat was so much more than a meal. It was an invitation to fellowship, to the sharing of a relationship. You see, Jesus wasn't eating on the beach just to show the disciples he was real. There was something significant in this encounter that was connected to their new way of life. John said, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. And yet, like the two on the way to Emmaus, like Mary in the garden, initially they hadn't recognized him. Don't you find that strange? Doesn't that make you wonder, what was it that Jesus was like? Somehow Jesus was the same, and yet he was different. Now maybe that's why John tells us that the disciples kept their distance on the beach. Can you picture it? Jesus with the fire, the disciples off the boat, come and eat. And they stand at a distance, watching him. But John tells us, Jesus went over to them, took the bread and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. As he approached the disciples, it seems to be that Jesus was establishing a new kind of relationship with them. Yes, things were different. The disciples could see that. But before he died, Jesus had promised his disciples that after he'd been taken from them, he would be there to come back and be with them. But that was to be a new kind of relationship. A relationship that wouldn't be seen in tangible terms as it had been before, but still a practical relationship that would take place in the reality of work and eating and resting and ordinary life. Even though they weren't physically walking with Jesus every day, still they were to know him personally and be led by him in all they did. And so on this Easter Sunday morning, as we celebrate the risen Saviour, we can look forward to all that he has in store for us. Because Jesus is risen, he beckons us, each one of us, into a new way of life. A life where we will continually be learning to follow Jesus. A life where we'll discover that the ordinary and routine may well be not so ordinary and routine. A life where we learn to listen and follow his leading. A life where we accept Jesus' invitation to partner with him in his mission. And we learn to share his love relevantly in our everyday lives. And a life where we know Jesus personally, the risen Lord, and allow him to feed us and guide us through a new kind of relationship with him. And I'm sure that if we keep trying to grasp that, then like the disciples, we will also be surprised by our encounters and our experiences with God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for the truth that Jesus is alive. But we thank you that you didn't leave us to get on with things in this world on our own. Thank you that you want to share every aspect of our lives with us. That you want to help us on those days that we're struggling and finding it hard to carry on. That you want to celebrate with us as we celebrate. That you want to bring out the best in each one of us. And be with us in every aspect of life. Thank you that you choose us to continue your mission. That you could do it without us, but you choose us. And give us that privilege. Lord, help us to know how to do that relevantly. And by your Spirit, please speak to others through us, that they too might know you. And help us, Lord, to know you more as we learn to love you more and follow you more and respond to your leading. In Jesus' name, amen.